ons bid toe vir vanoggend se bediening se woord. En toe daar woord uitgekom oor vanoggend se woord en die persoon het toe gesien hierdie babietjie in 'n krib, 'n baby in a manger regarding this morning's sermon and message. The person saw a picture of a baby quietly, peacefully in a manger, just safe and comfortable and secure regarding this morning's message. And this morning's message is entitled God in Control, God in Beheer. En as jy werklik glo God is in beheer, dan is jy soos 'n babietjie in 'n krib, né? Nee, jy's veilig. Daar's geen worries nie, daar's geen bekommernisse nie, niks wat jou gaan pla nie. Nothing that will bother you. You're safe in God's little manger, looking after you fast asleep because you trust his control. So that's the morning message. But before we kick off with a message, I just want to ask us all just to ask the Lord the following question. How do you see me, Jesus, right now? Each one become quiet, please. Close your eyes. You might get a picture, you might get a thought, you might get one word, you might get a memory, whatever. Just ask the Lord, each one, close your eyes. The guys on the balcony, close your eyes and ask the Lord, how do you see me, Jesus? Ask him. So, anybody brave that would want to just share with us shortly what you just got, to encourage the rest of us to see ourselves rightly. Because we look at ourselves through the eyes of the world, through our growing up teenage baby years, little toddler years. We look at ourselves through what others have said to us, how we see ourselves wrongly. Sometimes our spouses or ex-marriages or children or whatever. Who here wants, is brave enough just to come share what you see, what you felt God say to you, how he sees you? You had a smile. Is that smile say you have something special? Are you willing to come? Okay, come. Thanks, ma'am. Appreciate it. Just keep it to about 30 seconds, eh? We have more that want to come.
I just have a word, so I don't need 30 seconds. So I just heard warrior, and that's what I got. I'm a warrior. Wow.
That's how God sees her, as a warrior. Who wants to share as well? Who here? Come, I know many more gods. Don't be shy. Aren't Swell and Dammers courageous people? Is jylle lafharte or is jylle dapper? Are you courageous or are you not? Who's courageous here? There's a warrior word, eh? It might be a word for this church. A warrior church, who knows? Okay.
Sorry. That's okay. Also, very short, loved son.
God's saying to us globally, I believe, you're a warrior loved child of mine. Anyone else? Come, we're the brave people. Ruselda.
I was reminded of a memory. I was probably about 5 years old, and my mom made me this white, pretty, frilly dress for church. And she dressed me first and then got dressed herself. And in the time she got dressed, I went out into the mud and thought it was a lovely canvas and painted this whole white dress. And obviously, my mom was very upset and disappointed. But the Lord took me back to that memory and he said, I was so satisfied with you in that moment. Because you were, it was an act of war trampling upon religion. And that's what I want to see you walking in, and that's what I love about you. You trample upon religion.
A form of godliness denying the power thereof. Scripture speaks about religion. It's dead. It's not based out of the wealth of a relationship with Jesus. So who here didn't get a positive picture? Be honest. All right. So should we all pray again? Because I know it's very positive for you. Should we all pray again? And those of you that didn't get a positive picture, say, Lord, just show me the true picture. Not a picture how I see myself, but how you see me. God is. Hello? God is. Give me the answer. Love. He died for us. My word. God is love. So can we all just close our eyes again? And those that got a positive picture, you can get a second picture. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're an amazing minister, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. So I want to be brave here. Would you mind sharing or not? You can say no. Come.
So initially I saw a road and I saw myself running from side to side, frantically from one side to the other side. And then I experienced that God came next to me and he took my hand, and I was this little girl. And I took his hand and I couldn't see the road anymore. I could just see him. And then I thought maybe that wasn't positive. But when I closed my eyes again, I saw this flower standing in the field. There was only one. And he said, you are unique. There's only one like you.
Wow. Isn't that powerful? You know what? That word applies to all of us. There's only one of you. No one else has got your thumbprint. It says, even though you're identical twins, you have a unique. It doesn't make you great. It doesn't make you glorious. It doesn't allow us to become proudful. Just to know that we are loved and nothing separates us from the love of God. So let's kick off the message. All right. The message is God in control. God is in beheer. So I am half Lebanese, my dad's Lebanese, my mom's Afrikaans. She spoke fluent Afrikaans and fluent Arabic. She spoke English very, very shabbily. She couldn't really speak English well at all. My dad spoke five languages, of which the best was Lebanese and French, and the rest were about 80% ability to speak Afrikaans. He was good in English, yeah. He could speak one of the African languages. So that's my history. Grew up in the Free State, Orange Free State in Kroonstad. It's not called the Orange, it's called the Free State. It used to be called the Orange when I was there. So I was born in Lebanon, Beirut, 55 years ago. I was the first child to live. My parents had two miscarriages before I was born. But we stayed in a building, a block of flats in Beirut, in the heart of Beirut. I don't know, million plus people living there. It's the capital city of the small country of Lebanon. And there was war going on while I was there in 1975, at the age of 75. And we heard the sirens go off and we all had to flee to the shelter beneath the building. Have I shared this story with you? Nobody knows it, okay. We had to flee down to the shelter, I think at the age of 4.5, I can't remember. And all the inhabitants of these block of flats were in the shelter. So the sirens could go off again, that you know you can, it's safe to leave. And we heard this massive thud and explosion. The whole building shook and all the windows broke, including the buildings next to ours. And we came out and we realized, while we're in the shelter, where's my dad? Where's my dad? And yes, now we're worried. Is he in the explosion? Has he died? I mean, we're panic-stricken, looking for him. And eventually we found him fast asleep on the top of the building. So my parents had a garden. We lived right on top. And they converted the top, the roof, into a garden with pots and vineyards. And it was a beautiful garden. And so we woke him up. And I remember as clear as daylight, at the age of 4.5, I don't remember much except, but I remember this. And he said, "Daddy, why did you not come to the shelter? Why aren't you scared?" And he said, "My son, God is in control. His will be done. Whether I'm down there or up here, if he chooses to protect me, he will protect me. He's in control." And I thought, wow. I didn't even know what to make of that statement. So, in a conversation with a brother in Christ, he was sharing how he would like to do this kind of ministry, and he would be love to be involved in this aspect of ministry. He is in ministry, but he wants to get more involved in this and this. And in our conversation, I realized that we have to guard our hearts, me and him, from aspirations that are selfish ambitions. Vermommelen, what's that in English? It's good you understand. We could disguise them as spiritual, wanting to reach out to do more for God. But in the heart of that can be some selfish ambition, eh? Am I the only one that has to fight that in my, or the rest of you struggle with that? Am I part of the guilty group here? Or no, you're not? Mm-hmm. Own it. Through vulnerability comes victory. So now we're discussing it, and then we landed on that our identity can only be based on the fact that Jesus loves me, not in what I can do for him. It cannot be based on my talents and what I can give the Lord. My identity is based on one thing only, and that is Jesus loves me. Remember we did that in Soul Care 7 years ago? Jesus loves me, full stop. That's why I'm important. No other reason. Not my degree, not my occupation, not my farms, not my income, not my boat, not my house, not my pretty wife, not my children. Not what people say about me. I am valuable because of what. So we realized, okay, we can't let our identity be in the way we work for God, in our performance and our ministry. Second thing we landed on was that everybody else that's used in something that I desire to be used in and to be part of, they're part of the army of God like I am. They're in the trenches with me fighting the works of darkness. And they're building whose kingdom? Theirs or mine? Whose kingdom are they building? God. So when I want to do what they're doing, whose kingdom am I really aspiring for? Mine. If I want to do what they are doing, and I'm desiring it, and it's causing a problem in my heart, whose kingdom am I really building? Am I building his kingdom or mine? We say, Anan, amen. We're building whose kingdom? Come on, speak up. Hello? Say it louder. Mine. I must celebrate the fact that there's people in the trenches with me. I'm not alone fighting the works of darkness and the enemy. I have others fighting with me with our spiritual guns and whatever, testimony, love, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit. We realize we must celebrate the brothers and sisters around us that are performing and doing things for the King. And if they do it for selfish reasons, it's got nothing to do with me. It's between them and God will sort them out. They're not my child, they're God's child. And the third thing we landed upon, and that's the reason for this message, is God in control of your life or not? At the end of, when all the chips are down, who's in control? You or God? Or circumstances? I'll show you lots of verses today that will prove, without a shadow of a doubt, God is in control. Yes, you might deviate from God's ways, yes. But at the end, His will be done as long as you surrender to Him. Yes, you can take your own life into your own hands, and you can end up in hell where you keep, but He will try His level best for the rest of your life to bring you back on the path, even though you've deviated. If you surrender and you give Him that control. Who here has said, Lord, take my life and use it? Half of you. Let's ask again. Who here has said, Lord, take my life and use it? At least we got the other half now. Good. So we got two halves that makes 100%, hopefully. I can't count you all. So God is really in control. Let's go look at John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. We start off at 27. It's probably one of the most powerful scriptures referring to God being in control. If we are His children, this is if we are His children, eh? Even though you're not, He will try to get you to surrender to Him and bring you into His will. My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. That's the control part. No one can snatch you away from Him on condition that you listen to His voice. He knows you. You allow Him to know you and you follow Him. Then, let's read it together. No, let's 1, 2, 3. No one can snatch them away from me. Let's personalize it. 1, 2, 3. No one can snatch me away from Him. Kom ons sê dit in Afrikaans. Niemand kan my verwyder van sy hand nie. Niemand kan my verwyder van sy hand nie. Snatch is about hand grabbing. For my Father has given them to me. And He is less powerful. Come on. Speak up, church. He is more powerful than. And that includes Satan, Lucifer, and yourself. He's more powerful than you and your bad decisions and your disobedience. As long as you just keep coming back and repenting, surrendering your heart, He'll make it right. He's an amazing fixer-upper of our messes. Who here has messed up in your life? Who's messed up 100 times? 1,000 times? Okay. He's a fixer-up of our messer-ups. He's a regmaker van al ons foute. Mits ons heeltyd sê, I mean, how many times did David mess up? For goodness sake. What a prime example of God's love and bringing back. And he just gets, oh God, I once again I've messed up. Oh God, once again I've messed up. Look, the Psalms. Over and over and over again. So let's unpack these three. Actually, let's just unpack one verse. If we to have the safety of God's control is to do verse 27 and to surrender to verse 27. If we want the safety of God's control, we need to listen to His voice. Be obedient to Him. Next year. So my sheep listen to my voice speaks of obedience. We need to listen to Him. Yes, it doesn't mean sometimes we don't listen to Him. Sometimes we run after the flesh. But eventually, with all God's talking and work in our hearts, we end up obeying Him again and listening to Him. So to have the Lord's control is to obey Him. Listen to His voice. If you want to say, listen, I am truly a sheep of God, then sheep listen to their shepherds. And yes, when they don't listen and they walk off away from the herd, the sheep grabs them, breaks their leg, puts them, the sheep, on their shoulder, and then gets them to bond to the shepherd until their leg gets healed. You know the whole story of the sheep and the shepherd, or is this new to some of you? Breaks their leg, puts it on the shoulder, walks with them as he leads the other sheep to green fields and grass and water. And that sheep bonds with the shepherd. And then the next time they won't walk away again. Sometimes you might have to break your leg more than once. But he's more devoted to your obedience and your belonging to him, because no one's going to snatch you. Not even you is going to snatch you from him. Hy gaan nie eens toelaat dat jy jouself van homself verwyder nie. Hy sal alles, outside of forcing you, hy sal alles doen in sy vermoë. Maar net buite beheer. He doesn't control. But he'll use whatever he has. So the first thing is, in verse 27, is obedience to him. My sheep listen. Then we get the next part of that verse that says, I know them. That's a prerequisite that no one can snatch us from the Lord's hands. Now the word know is the Greek word gnosko. And gnosko is interpreted the best way in the following sentence. It's like, I know you because I walk with you, I share life with you, I love you. That's the word know, the Greek meaning. I know you, I share my life with you, and I walk with you. Do you think it takes two to do that, or only one? If I'm sharing my life with you, you must be willing to share your life. If I walk with you, you must be willing to walk with me. So God says, I know you because you allow me to get to know you. You pursue me as much or nearly as much as I pursue you. I'm in a deep, intimate relationship. I share my life with you. That's the word, the meaning of the word gnosko. Knowing God, two parties involved. Are you pursuing to surrender your heart and life on a daily basis? Every morning, waking up and saying, Lord, I give you my heart. I surrender my thoughts, my decisions, my whole life. I surrender to you. I want to pursue you. Ek wil jou nastreef. Ek wil agter jou aan hardloop, Here. Ek wil U soek in elke oomblik van elke dag. It's very important that we search the Lord more than we search fellowship with each other. Sometimes people sit with, we've had situations where people have a problem, and the first thing they do is they run to the elders or their comm people or their comm leader before they run to God. Does that sound right? Is that good to do that? No. God is a jealous God. He wants us to always go to Him first, to go wrestle with Him, to seek the answers from Him before we go to our brothers. And I'm not saying don't go to your brothers and sisters and your leaders. Yes, go to them, but first go to God. First go to the Lord. And let them confirm what God's saying to you, and let them be used by the Lord. But no man can carry another man's burden. We are co-laborers and we hirelings. Ons is in diens van God se koninkryk, maar ek is nie God nie, en niemand kan God wees vir jou nie. Niemand kan daai las dra nie. Net die Here kan daai las dra van dit waarmee jy sukkel, waarmee jy stoei. So God's a jealous God. And why can God be jealous, but I may not desire my neighbor's wife or my neighbor's possessions? How come God can be jealous about us, but I'm not allowed to be jealous? Because you belong to Him. You're His property. He made you. My neighbor's wife doesn't belong to me. My neighbor's car doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Him. The one is sin. The one is righteous belonging. So God's saying, if something belongs to you, you better fight for it. It's yours. You fight for your marriage. You fight for your wife. You fight for your property. People are not going to come into your house and just empty out your house with you standing and watching them, unless they have a pistol against your head. But if you're able to overcome them, you would. Am I right or wrong? Now God's got a right to be jealous, because the earth and all therein belongs to Him. He made us. So He's a jealous God. When we pursue intimacy with Him. You need to pursue intimacy with Him first and foremost above anything and everybody else. Your first love must be towards Jesus, and then your spouse, and then other people. He comes first. Hy's heel eerste op ons lys. And the third part of this verse is, and they follow me. That means disciples. So we are called to have God's control. We are to be obedient. We are to be intimate. Obedient, intimate, and then be His disciples. Do you know how it worked in Jesus' day? They were great teachers of God's word, Pharisees and Sadducees and teachers and da-da-da-da. So when a person like Jesus that has preached God's word and there's power in his message, when he walks up to a total stranger and says to him, I want you to be my disciple. You can't run back and speak to whoever and say, let me first fix up this and this. You know the story of the rich man that comes to God and says, I want eternal life. What do I do? And Jesus said, sell everything, give up everything. That was a depiction of a disciple. So God would call you and you drop everything and you follow him. And you live with him. You share your life. You get to know him as the word gnosko. My sheep know me. I know my sheep. It's that sharing life, walking together. That's the meaning of being a disciple of Jesus. Everything comes second to me following Christ. Not things are at equal par to Christ. Nothing is equal to my following of Jesus. It comes first. That's the culture. You eat, sleep, and drink together with Jesus. 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Devoted to his mission. That which is important to Christ, if you follow Jesus and you're a disciple of Christ, that which is important to Christ is important to me. Dit wat belangrik is vir God is belangrik vir jou as jy 'n disipel is van Jesus. Jy volg hom. Jy leer om soos hy op te tree. Jy dink soos hy. Jy praat soos hy en jy is soos hy. Dis disipelskap. You act like him. You speak like him. You think like him. That's the meaning of discipleship. Following Christ. One sentence and three guidelines on how to have the control of God in your life. Now let's go look at four basic control points that God controls over his children's life. The first one is God is sovereign. What's the word of goddelike soevereiniteit? Dis korrek gespel, by the way. Okay, I checked it up. God se soevereiniteit. He rules over all. Hy regeer oor alles. Dis sy soevereiniteit. Daai groot woord beteken hy regeer oor alles. He rules over all. God's authority, God se heerskappy is heerskappy oor die skepping en niks kan buite sy beheer gebeur nie. He has absolute power. He has a plan. Nothing escapes his plan or his power. Niks kan sy mag en sy plan ontsnap nie. Everything. He's in control. He's in total. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10 says, remember the things I have done in the past. For I alone am God. I am God, and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Do you think that's a God in control of your life? Or can something happen without him knowing about it? Does anything catch God by surprise? Even the thing you're going through now, the suffering, the pain, he knows. He's right in there. He's carrying you in that pain. He's giving you advice. Listen to it and apply it. Ephesians 1:11 says, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. He's chosen you in advance and makes everything work out according to his plan. And you have received an inheritance. Jy is 'n erfgenaam, jy het 'n erfporsie van die Here gekry. Dis die beteken van inheritance. Jy het 'n erfporsie, 'n geestelike ewige lewe, 'n teenwoordigheid van God erfporsie, 'n vrede erfporsie, 'n liefde erfporsie, voorsiening. Daar's 'n klomp goed wat 'n erfporsie is van as ons kinders van God is. Kom ons kyk na die volgende punt. God se leiding, God's guidance. He directs the steps of his children. Hy lei jou voetspore. God laat jou nie net doelloos rondloop en soek vir iets nie. He doesn't let you wander aimlessly. He orders your steps and gives you direction. And if you don't have direction and you don't know the steps and say, Lord, where did I miss you? That I somehow not listened to you about, that I miss your guidance in the past. Where have I missed you, Lord? Just remind me, show me, and then go do that. He directs your footsteps. You don't wander aimlessly. He's your guidance. Proverbs 16, verse 9. We can make our plans, but the Lord, read it out loud. Hy rig ons voetspore. Ons kan ons planne maak, maar God rig ons voetspore. He directs our plans. He determines our plans. Psalms 37, verses 23 to 24. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He directs the steps of the ungodly. Who? Godly. Are you made godly because of your own ability not to sin? How are you made godly? Jesus. God gives you righteousness by faith and not by works. You are saved by faith alone. Real faith produces works, yes. But you're not saved by works. You're saved by faith. And He gives you righteousness. He gives you godliness. It's a gift by faith. It's nearly too good to be true. Who's found that? That is too good to be true. Who's found that? But it is. It's so liberty-giving. Dit is so vrymakend. God se geregverdigheid wat hy vir ons gee. Geregtigheid wat ons vir ons gee. Deur geloof alleen. So the godly, he directs our steps. So we get godliness because of faith in him. He delights in every detail of their life. Even the disappointing details, because he knows every disobedience, every miscalculation, everything that you've done, he will use for your good and for the good of others. He'll turn that. He'll use it to bless you and to bless others. We can't learn unless we make mistakes. Has anyone here learned without making a mistake? Or at least seeing someone else make a mistake? How many of you learned from your siblings and say, I don't want to do that. I've learned from what they did wrong. Huh? We learn from other people. So we learn. God says it's fine. Now listen to this. Though they stumble, they will never fall. Please don't think your stumbling is a falling. A stumble is so that you can learn from the stumble, stand up, and do it the next time better. And I can tell you, in some secret sins that are no longer secret in my life, I've stumbled many times, but I refuse to give up because I knew God's got a better plan and He'll help me, and I've gotten victory from it now. And that can apply to each one of you. There's a lot of grace in the kingdom of God. Nothing, niks kan vergelyk aan dit wat Jesus betaal het op die kruis nie. Niks. God Himself, pure, holy, died for us sinners. We don't deserve it. Taking our punishment for us on the cross, on our behalf. And then hanging on the cross while they're killing Him, He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He kind of signed a blank check there. If we put our faith in Him, He'll forgive us. That kind of love compels us. Die liefde dwing ons om soos hy te wil word. As jy werklik sy liefde proe en jy stel nie belang om soos hy te word nie, dan het jy het nog nie geproe nie. You've truly tasted the love of God and it doesn't change you. And you don't start pursuing to be more like Him. I question the fact, have you really tasted how much He loves you? Because love like that compels you. Dit dwing jou. And maybe part of our pursuit is, Lord, show me how much you love me. Remember, a stumble is not a fall. They will never fall, for the Lord holds them. The Lord, say this, the Lord holds me by His hand. Say it aloud, 1, 2, 3. He holds you by His hand. Do you believe that? If you can't believe it, say, God, help me to believe it. How many times have you sinned the same sin, gone to God, repented, and you know that you know you're forgiven? Say 1,000 times. Who here has sinned the same sin 1,000 times and you know you're forgiven? He holds you. He's more interested in you being close to him, being his future bride, being his child, and being his body. You're his body. You think he's going to just let you go and rot away? No. Then he rot. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need us. But I mean, he will not allow his body to rot or get cancer spiritual cancer. He'll keep putting his medicine. He'll keep coming back. The next point is God's providence. Voorsienigheid. It's a groot ou Afrikaanse word. I couldn't find another word for providence. God's providence. He works all things for your good. That's God's providence. Hy sal alles ten goede laat meewerk. God's control includes even life's trials. God se beheer sal selfs jou lewens swaar kry kan hanteer en beheer hê selfs oor die swaar tye in jou lewe. God is in beheer daarvan. Hy sal alles ten goede laat meewerk. Sy voorsienigheid. His providence. He works all things out for your good. Romans 8 verses 28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. So, a man that I know very well always looked at God with an intellectual perspective. Yes, God is good, Jesus is good, but I don't need it. And hy sal altyd na Jesus kyk as 'n objek van studie, die Bybel as 'n objek van studie, maar God en Jesus is daar en hy is hier. But he never came to a place where he surrendered his life and where he opened up himself to taste what the cross and death of Jesus really means. And then he got cancer. And they tried to heal him with a cancer radiation therapy, whatever else, and chemotherapy. And eventually he just started going down and down and down. And he was basically in and out of bed for 2 years, months in the hospital. And in that time, in that wrestle, he opened himself up so to the Lord that the Lord showed him what price he paid on the cross. And he phoned me and he said, "Mac," weeping, he said, "I never understood the price that Jesus paid for me on the cross, separated from the Father. In relationship, cut. Jesus cries on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, hoekom het u my verloon? Is dit die regte woord? Verlaat, die verloon. Hoekom het u my verlaat? And he says, he called me Mackie. He said, Mackie, I never realized the price that Jesus paid. And he wept. He said, and maybe that's something you must say, Lord, show me. Here, wys my. Hoeveel u betaal het vir my sondes? Wat het jou gekos? Wat het dit jou gekos op die kruis vir my sondes? Want ek dink ons hoor daai boodskap soveel, ons raak so gewoond daaraan, dit maak nie meer 'n verskil in ons harte nie. Stem julle saam? En dis die kragtigste daad wat al ooit in die geskiedenis van die skepping gedoen is. Die grootste daad van liefde, the biggest deed of love ever, before, during creation, and ever after creation, what Jesus, God himself, did for us on the cross. Ask the Lord, Lord, reveal, open up the price you paid. The fact that you could say, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. While we're busy killing you with our sins, while we're crucifying you. So, I think God used cancer in that man's life to bring him to his senses. God used that trial. Even in life's trials, he uses everything. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for him. Sometimes God allows you, he breaks you, he allows your knee to be broken so that you can discover him. Should I rather be sick and be saved or be healthy and go to hell? Answer me. Sick and saved than healthy in hell. Should I rather have everything go well with me and go to hell, or should I suffer quite a bit on this life and go to heaven? Now you wonder why you're suffering. It keeps you close to God. It keeps you dependent on God. It keeps you seeking the Lord. We spoke yesterday with the guys and we came to the conclusion, if it's going well with us, yes, we spend time with God, but our spending time with God stays pretty superficial. But when it's going tough, we really dig into the Lord. Am I right? Or I'm the only guilty one in this? Aren't we all the same? Yes, it's not that we stop spending time with God, but we talk less and we talk more superficially with the Lord than we really dig. And God wants what with us? He wants deep intimacy with us. Gnosko, walking, sharing life, being with you. That's what the Lord desires. Why do we exist? Have you ever asked yourself the question, why was I born? For intimacy with God, to worship God. The chief end of man is to glorify God through intimate relationship. He's made you to be his wife, for goodness sake. Husbands and wife represent Jesus in the church. I mean, your children are a fruit of your deep closeness. We're all an example of him. We're broken reflections, but we are reflecting Jesus and the bride. He wants closeness with us. That's why we exist, to worship, to be close to God, to pursue the God, and to draw others to him out of that depth of intimacy with him. You try to draw others to him without the depth of intimacy, it's dead works. But out of the wellspring of intimacy with the Lord, the fruit of that you can't yourself terughou as om te deel met ander nie. En Jesus te skyn nie, en met om ander te praat nie, oor hom nie. The last point, and with that I have to finish. God's protection, God se beskerming. He watches over his children. The se beskerming. God's control is not distant or detached. Se beheer is naby, dis nie ver af nie. Dis persoonlik. Psalm 121 vers 7 tot 8. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over you, your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. This missionary couple got put on a taxi from south of Egypt, had to go to Cairo on a 4-hour journey at night, didn't know where the place was, where they had to walk to from the taxi rank, were not Egyptians, were from South Africa, rocked up at the taxi rank, didn't know where to go, prayed like crazy, knew, and there's hundreds of people, thousands of people mulling around the taxi rank. There are thousands of taxis that don't know where to go, and they prayed, and the people that put them on the taxi said, go left, go right, go left, go, but it was such a rush, they had no time to write it down, so they prayed like crazy on the taxi to Cairo, Egypt, got off the taxi, didn't know where to go. So either God pitches or they are in big trouble. And the next minute, this man comes to them, dressed white, shoes, shirt, trousers, Egyptian, in perfect English. He says to them, do you want to go to such and such an address? They don't know him from a bar of soap. They look at him, yes, follow me. So they follow him. The next minute, they're standing in front of their building. And they look around and they say, where's he gone to? He's disappeared. Who do you think that was? And that was in the days when there were no cell phones and no phones in South Upper Egypt, south of Cairo. Average village did not have phones. God protects. He looks after us. He looks after us. My sheep listen to my voice, John 10, 27, 29. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me. And he is more powerful than anyone else. Close your eyes, please. It's the end of the message. 35 minutes. All right. Close your eyes, please. Who here?